bridgeinc.org or call us at 203-331-2730.
This is Ralph Nader inviting you to listen to my weekly radio program, the Ralph Nader Radio Hour, Sundays at 6 p.m., right here on WPKN Radio. Please join me for a lively hour of interviews with some of the nation's most influential movers and shakers that you never see here on mass media every Sunday on listener-supported WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut, my home state.
Welcome to the Organic Farm Stand. My name is Chris Ferriero, and I'm hosting this week. Richard Hill couldn't make it, so I'm filling in for him. And we do have two guests today. Our regular resident farmer, Guy Beardsley.
Hi there.
And we also... Oh, hold on. Let me bring you guys up. Okay. And we also have... We didn't hear you, Guy. You want to say hi again?
Okay, I'm here.
That's weird. I don't hear you.
I'm...
Okay, that's good. And we also have Suzanne Dusing, wife of recently departed Bill Dusing, and she's going to be talking about a number of things today.
Good afternoon.
Hi, and welcome. It's always good to have a guest in the studio.
Thank you.
Particularly a girl guest.
Yeah, good. And this what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with the farm report. I do have some other things I want to talk about, and then we'll go into talking with Suzanne. So, Guy, what's going on? What's going up in Shelton?
Since the middle of August, we have been inundated with a lot more rain than we certainly need to have. In September, I had over 8 inches of rain. In October, I had 7.5 inches of rain. In November, I had over 9 inches of rain. Now, that's about three times as much rain as we usually get, and that's a whole lot more than we need. Anyway, am I on okay?
Yeah, you're good. Good. You can hear yourself, right? If you can hear yourself, it means you're coming across.
All right, splendid. Well, anyway, the rain, and I suspect that other people in our listening audience have also experienced a lot of rain, really emphasizes the use of a raised bed for whatever you're trying to grow. And so raised beds do help considerably in a raining situation. And we used those raised beds for all our lavender because lavender does not like wet feet at all. And we raised it for a number of other crops. But unfortunately, the beets have been growing in mud, or rather they've been existing in mud and they're not growing at all. So that's one of the problems about the rain. The snow was not a problem at all. We can take almost anything that we grow in the fall can take a little snow without any trouble. And I say we don't grow basil at all in the fall.
Basil doesn't. Yeah,
it doesn't like temperatures below 40. Let alone coming even close to
freezing. It's like the canary in the mine for cold weather. You know, it turns black with just
the first
bit of coldness.
So anyway, what we are doing though, but black garlic is a big operation. Absolutely continues to be extremely useful, and people are. I've had to limit the number of bulbs that I can sell at any one time to individuals down to four. I cannot sell any more than four bulbs at any one time to garlic because we have such a demand for it. And that's just the way it is. So, and you know, bulb will break down into usually between 4 to 6 cloves. And that's good. I try not to have any garlic that's got these little sliver cloves. And
So basically you're saying they're thick and juicy.
We are exactly that, and also
the hardneck garlic lends itself to large cloves surrounding the stalk in the middle, so you don't get those little slivers like you do on the softneck garlic, which is mostly what's available in the supermarkets.
Isn't it good to have Suzanne here? You know, just to that point that she can add a female voice to the whole program is a remarkable way to project You know, that's what, anyway, so be it.
What are you trying to say? We sound boring?
No.
No, we don't, but we need to have a female voice. And because we got a lot of female listeners, and they like to hear.
And a lot of female programmers here at WPKN.
Exactly right, Suzanne.
Some of my favorites.
You know, speaking of that, and Suzanne has a remarkable biography that she could. Now, she doesn't want to talk too much about it, but we should. Point out the fact that she's got her master's degree. She's been a teacher. She's worked in corporate America, and just a remarkable. She also grew up in the organic community and is very knowledgeable. That had a real big hand in starting the Common Ground High School in New Haven, and is taught at Yale
I didn't teach at Yale. I gave a couple of workshops at Yale.
From my limited view,
let's
that's
not,
teaching.
Let's not elevate her
no,
too
really,
high.
Guy. Really, let's get real here.
And she's a delightful person to ride in the car with. I got to say that, too.
Okay.
Yes, we have fun.
So, anyway, beyond that, we're talking about the need at this point for soil tests. You're finished with the season. Now is the time to get your soil tests in because you want to get the results. And if you need a pH adjustment, you need to have some good lead-in time for a pH adjustment, particularly if you got a low pH and you want to raise it up to the 6.3 to 6.8 category, then you'll need to apply that lime, and it takes lime about 6 months to get incorporated into the soil. Mm-hmm. And this is it can do so under the rains and the snows of winter. But that's why you got to do that sort of stuff.
So Guy, we've gone through this. I know where is it in New Haven? They test your soil for free, correct?
It's free to the extent that it's tested, and it's free to the extent that they will send you at no expense to you a report.
Right.
But you've got to get the soil over to them.
Oh, I know. They won't. You mean they won't come and pick it up?
The Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station is
right.
We're talking about.
The Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station on 123 Huntington Street, right next to Albertus Magnus College there in New Haven. Very convenient. Just drive in. There's only one entrance. That's the first building on your left, which is a soil analysis lab. And you just drop your soil analysis in there with your name on it, what you want to grow. And it's got to have at least a cup. I always try to get at least 2 cups to them of sifted soil that has dried and does not have any sticks, stones, leaves, twigs, or whatever in it, or creatures for that matter. And you just drop that off to them and tell them what you want to grow and with your name and address, and you will get a report that will give you essentially the minimum information that you need to have, which is the pH, it'll be the organic matter, the nitrogen in two sources, if you got two sources, the potassium and the phosphorus and the calcium. It will also cover magnesium, but generally speaking, magnesium, although it's important, our soils are pretty much good with magnesium. However, calcium is extremely important, and that is something which most people have a tendency to forget. They look at the bag that has these three numbers on it, the first one being nitrogen, the second one phosphorus, and the third one potassium, and think that's all they need to know. Not so. There's many micronutrients also, but that calcium is extremely important.
Just like it is with humans, it's very similar. But make sure that when you send in or bring in your soil sample, you request organic amendments, because otherwise they'll tell you to use commercial 10-10-10 or whatever kind of fertilizer.
Oh, so they not only analyze it for basic, we'll call it nutritional or
they'll make recommendations
or mineral composition. And also recommendations for what to add to it.
Right.
Okay.
Now, in case you forget to do that, and you want to apply the organic aspect to it, take the numbers that they give you, like Suzanne said, 10, 10, 10. I'll take 5, 10, 5 as an example. Now, 5, 10, 5 actually broken down to its lowest numerator would be 1, 1, 2, 1. Mm-hmm. Fine? And so you can use that number and try to apply it to what it is that you're going to use organically. Most organic soils are much less than 10. The rock soil, the rock amendments and what you'd use and as an organic fertilizer. So you just drop it down to the lowest numerical
reduction. Reduce the fraction.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Suzanne,
Suzanne, do you happen to know, do either one of you know the address in New Haven?
123 Huntington Street.
Okay, 123 Huntington Street. If you and you recommend taking samples from like 4 different sections of your garden?
Well, you take a look at your garden, and if you have contiguous soil that is the same, you only need to take about 10 points in that soil. And then dry them out and sift them out and then put it out. But if you get more than one area that is like some area might be as wetter than others, some area might be more shady than others, some area might have a lighter looking soil, just take whatever is convenient from that particular soil and then plug it in, and you could send in several soil samples.
Yeah, because I, in my garden, and I've talked about it, I had trouble, there's a section of my garden I have trouble with, and I don't know if it's, there are things growing near it, like rhododendron bush, but it doesn't grow things well in that section, so I'm thinking of transplanting my herbs into that section, because herbs pretty much will grow anywhere. But I don't think I'm going to use it for a regular, or maybe I'll just get it analyzed, because there's something about that section just doesn't grow things
well. It wouldn't hurt to have it analyzed. At least you'd know what you're working
and
with.
And I could basically probably analyze the rest of the garden and that section.
You know, trying to grow anything without knowing what your soil is kind of trying to fight a boxing match with one hand tied behind your back. Mm-hmm. It really is very, very important. Saves you a lot of time, effort, money, and frustration.
Right.
Because you take all this time, effort, energy, and you're not getting the product, and you don't know what you're working with. You got to know what you're working with.
And there are so many unknowns in farming and gardening right now. We call it climate grief. You know, this kind of rain. At least if you can rule out some of the variables, which is soil health, then you can contend more successfully with the other challenges that you're bound to face. With, you know, one of the things farmers are talking about a lot is how to deal with the changing conditions for growing. And it's a lot of conversation. Another way to deal with and mitigate this heavy rainfall, I think, is no till. You know, the advent of not tilling, not disturbing the soil. I mean, that was Bill's mantra,
right?
You know, about do not disturb the soil. And we, you know, on our farm over the years, we had no mechanical assistance, a chainsaw perhaps, and, you know, a circular saw, but we had no tractors or pitch, you know, the kind of mechanized stuff. And we would dig right into the cover crop and plant. And disturbing, this is before it was, you know, even popularized.
Right. So in essence, just digging in where you're putting your specific plant.
As much as possible, not disturbing the soil, because especially with all this heavy rainfall, the ruts that are created by, you know, your mechanic, your tractors and such are very disruptive to the soil.
Right. Plus the soil is pretty moist now, so you don't want to dig in it because it's muddy. It's not the right consistency,
yeah,
really.
Especially if you're in bottom land. A lot of Connecticut is grown in bottom land, you know, river bottom.
So while we're talking, I don't know, you probably figured this out by now, Guy. I'm like a late gardener. I still want to put my garlic in. So do you know what good garlic days are coming up?
Did you bring the Stella Natura with you?
Let's just check here.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we don't have to talk about it right this second. Yeah. I'll let him dig it out. But because I definitely want to get my garlic in. And like I said, I'm just kind of like, I finally just got all the junk out of my garden, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, as long as the soil isn't frozen.
Oh, no, no, it'll be fine. I just want to know the right.
Do you have it covered now to keep it from freezing? I would cover it with leaves or straw right now to keep it from freezing so that, you know, when you do, we do discover
a
root
day.
Oh, I see.
So it's warm.
It'll be warmer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because, it's getting pretty cold at night now. So.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of plastic, but in a pinch, black plastic will help.
I'll just
keep the heat in also.
I have a bunch of ground up leaves, so I'll just
perfect. Leaves are the best. They're the best.
Unfortunately, my Stella Natura calendar stopped at the end of November.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I extract sheets from it.
Oh, of course.
And so I got November, and I don't have anything on December.
So maybe Andrew will text me the root days. He's listening. I know he's my partner
at Once Upon
a Farm. I have my iPad here, so
okay, that'd be
if
super.
He wants to text me those days, that'd be great. Thanks, Andrew.
The only other thing that I want to cover real quickly is the fact that Becky is our baker, and you have products from Becky's bakery. They're over there with Rob right now. Yeah. Anyway, the tremendous demand for gluten-free continues to amaze me. We really were impressed on that. Like 1 in 3 people came up to my farm stand or our sales table in the NOFA conference. 1 in 3 needed or wanted to have gluten-free. Some additionally wanted paleo, and some also wanted gluten-free and vegan. But the primary demand was gluten-free. And so that's very important that so many people with celiac problems and because of all the pesticides that are used in growing all the flour, all the wheat, the barley, the rye.
And the dry down, especially, the Roundup dry down. They dry the crop with Roundup before they harvest it so they can there'll be uniformity in the grain. And so that leaves an enormous amount of glycophosphate on the product, and then we're ingesting it.
Right, and there's no way to, unless you're getting the raw grains, you could conceivably rinse them, but if you're getting flours, breads,
it's not even clear if it's surface. I think if it's topical, I think it might be, throughout the plant at this point, absorbed into it. I'm not sure about that.
I think you're exactly right, and I think you picked up from Bill on that one.
I did.
Right, absolutely. I'm channeling him today. Right.
What I want to say, I was going to throw, I don't know, maybe a bit of a devil's advocate. I'm wondering, okay, so I will take your assessment, say one out of every three people asking questions at the conference are looking for gluten-free products.
Right.
I'm wondering how much of the gluten-free market is from people who just don't know, like they don't actually have a celiac problem.
That is a question.
Because it is big. It's very popular. Gluten-free is like everywhere. And I think a lot of people may not know what it means or if they need gluten-free products.
There is a point there, and we don't delve into that. If people say it's got to be gluten-free, we accept that.
Right.
I would say at an organic conference, I would think that people are very knowledgeable about what they're
It almost doing. Doesn't matter, I don't think, Chris. If that's what you prefer, then that's what you should be able to purchase, if possible, without, having a diagnosis necessarily.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
There's a lot of food stuff going on now, there's always been diet crazes, but this is a little different. And I think a lot of the food allergies that we're seeing now are a direct result of the use of pesticides in food production.
Right. And I think the most common one is peanut allergies.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You want to wrap it up, Guy, for your
Yeah, I think that's, Suzanne has got a whole lot of things to talk about.
And, as usual.
And we anticipate bringing Suzanne back quite often, but not on a continual basis. Right, Suzanne?
Right, that's right. I'll come in as needed. When I have an agenda, I have quite an agenda.
Well,
today.
It would be great to have a, I'll call it an organic resource like Bill was.
Well, I can't I can't be as knowledgeable. I mean, there's no one who could fill his shoes in that respect.
Right.
My knowledge runs along slightly different paths, but
okay.
Which was why we were so complimentary to one another.
Right.
You know, when we did presentations. And
right. And I didn't mean to imply that you would be an exact replacement. I'm
no,
just saying.
Not possible.
by not having Bill as part of our show, we're lacking that.
Yeah.
Knowledge, that knowledge base.
Right, and I did talk to Richard about making suggestions and recommendations for people who can fulfill that need, you know.
Okay.
And we'll continue to do so.
Okay, quickly, I just want to talk about a few things. And one is that I subscribe to all kinds of email lists, and today is World Soil Day. I don't know if you guys are
no.
aware of that.
Hallelujah.
And I'll basically give a very basic description. World Soil Day is held annually on December 5th as a means to focus attention on the importance of healthy soil and advocating for the sustainable management of soil resources. And there's more, but I'll basically, if you, go to Google as an example and just punch up World Soil Day, you can find out more about it. But today is that day for this year.
That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
I've never even heard the title.
Me neither. And I just, like I said, I subscribe to all kinds of, petitions.
Who supports that? Where is that initiated?
Let's
Does it say?
See. It's, let's see. Global Soil Organic Carbon.
It's not the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
No, I think it's a UN resolution.
Oh, that would make sense, of course.
UNEA3 resolution.
Hmm. So it's an environmental committee on the UN. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I don't actually, but if you... Yeah,
no, that's fine. I just was curious.
And then one other thing, and that is there are a bunch of things which Suzanne will be talking about, but one is there's something called... Solid Ground Farmer Trainings, which are free trainings presented by UConn.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something coming up December 12th at Common Ground High School. That would be Wednesday the 12th from 4 to 7 p.m. And that would be a climate change and adaptation strategies.
Oh.
And these are free trainings. I've gone to a few of them put on by UConn Extension. And for more information, I'm trying to think, do I have a website? I could always post. I could always post this. But basically, if you go to, here's the actual.
Well, Common Ground, a website would certainly have something about it.
Okay, but these other trainings. So basically, it's newfarms.extension.ucon.edu. And that will bring you / solid ground. I mean, it's hard to remember.
Would you repeat that, please?
Okay, so it's newfarms.extension.ucon.edu/solid ground.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and they're free workshops. So,
good.
And they're held all around the state. That's just one coming up by this coming.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Sure.
At Solid Ground. And that's at, Common Ground High School,
right.
358 Springside Avenue in New Haven.
What time?
4 to 7
p.m. 4 to 7 p.m.
4 to 7.
Yeah.
Okay, you got that then.
So I'm going to see, I'm not sure how to do it. I can talk to Richard. I'm going to see if maybe I can put links for some of these things on our
WPKN web?
There's an organic farm stand. What is it? It's like a Facebook page, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so I think we can probably put links to these things on there.
You can.
Okay.
I don't know how you do it, but I know.
I don't know how, but
I'm sure there's someone here who knows how to do that.
Like
Rob knows for sure, right?
Yep.
So does Steve, obviously.
Yep.
So I'll talk to Richard about it.
Okay, good.
Should we mention before we get Suzanne that there is a fundraising event today, although we're not directly involved.
Right.
All right, for WPKN.
It's for 2 weeks, and it started Monday. And
I thought it was a week and a half, but anyway.
Oh well, some protracted period of time.
Yeah, I'll have to check on that. I believe it's, I was thinking until next Wednesday.
So
Yeah.
Okay.
So like a week and a half.
So we urge you to support this unique and wonderful radio station.
Right. And we're not actually doing active fundraising right now during this hour, but if you did want to make a donation, you could call 383-384-9756. I took the poster down. It's blocking my view. 203-384-9756, and Rod would be happy to take a donation. But we'll be going back into active fundraising after this program and through the end of the day next Wednesday.
You can always make a donation through WPKN.org as well.
Right, and we also have you can make a sustaining donation and basically punch in your, you know, put in your credit card number or your debit card and make it like a monthly sustaining donation.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about it.
It's painless. It's
right.
Painless.
Right. Until you get your credit card bill.
It's still painless.
Yeah. Okay. So on to Suzanne Dusing.
Excuse me.
Guy kind of gave you a little bit of an introduction talking about some of your history.
It was enough.
Okay.
It was sufficient, really.
And so you're just being modest.
Well, I doubt that. But I do, you know, Bill and I worked together on the old solar farm for close to 30 years. And you pick up a lot of information along the way. And there's a lot going on in Bill's name at NOFA right now. You know, after his death in July, there was a wonderful memorial and a fund set up in his name that brought in quite a bit of money, and we thank you very much for your contributions and your generosity. And in the same spirit, I'd like to introduce the process for nominating Connecticut NOFA's Bill Dusing Organic Living on the Earth Award. And we're just introducing this. I'm involved in a committee with some wonderful folks. The award criteria, the award is for a recipient who has demonstrated the advancement of organic living on our earth with a project, innovation, action, or lifestyle that supports the continuation of the life's work of Bill Dusing, for all to live on this earth and society in a society in harmony with nature. The accomplishment must contribute to the advancement of organic living in Connecticut in a demonstrable way and be a current or recent accomplishment that reflects Bill's devotion to organic living and his wish that his critically important work be continued by his friends and colleagues. And award recipients, or you can make nominations for the following categories. An organic farmer or farm, of course. An organic land care professional. An organic advocate. And I'll give examples of this in a bit. An organization, some of which are self-explanatory, like an organization. An educator or a mentor. And it's a lot of categories, and we broke it down so that it could be very inclusive. You know, we wanted to have as broad an opportunity to recommend people for this, because it's basically acknowledging them for continuing on with some very important work. And award recipients will be recognized during the keynote session at Connecticut NOFA's 2019 Winter Conference, which I'll talk more about in a little bit. And that's happening earlier this year. It's usually been in March, and this year it's in February, at the end of February, which was a response to a lot of farmers saying March is too late. It's time to start our onions. It's time to start this and that. So they've pushed it back to February. And there's a change of venue as well. It's no longer in Danbury. It's in Bridgeport, right here in beautiful downtown Bridgeport by the sea at the Housatonic Community College. And we're hoping that that will be more attractive. Danbury's kind of off the beaten track, you know, on the west end of the state there. And they're hoping, I guess, that it will draw, you know, more people. And the deadline for nominations is Monday, January 14th. And so I won't give you any information about how you fill out the form. Hopefully it will be very user-friendly. All the information I'm talking about today about NOFA is available on ConnecticutNOFA.org.
Okay.
I mean, and then, you know, you have to kind of, the stuff about Bill is right in the
right,
top.
Right, so the upper left corner, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then there's information about this award. There's hopefully going to be a friendly link to something you can fill in online and then submit online. There'll be also be the opportunity to send in a hard copy to Michael Baker and that information. I'm not going to give you that information over
right,
the radio
they can,
because
they,
this is all be available on the website
right.
Within a few days, I would say.
Okay, so I was going to ask when. So
yeah, this is late breaking news. It's fresh off the press. We just turned in the nomination form last night to Steve Munn, who's been really helpful. He's the president of the NOFA board right now, and the board seems to be really very actively involved and invigorated by the passing of Bill, you know, somehow continuing his work and sustaining his energy and the intelligence he brought to our project is, you know, it's encouraged people. It's
right.
Lit a fire under them.
So let me ask you this, Suzanne.
Sure.
What is the action? Is it a mention? At
it's
the conference?
An award. It's,
I know.
It's an award and it's a plaque.
Okay, a plaque.
There's no. If your next question would be, is there a financial
right.
reward? There is not.
So it's a recognition
yes.
at the NOFA conference, and it would be a plaque
and an okay. opportunity to honor the hard work that so many people dedicate their lives to, much like my husband did, you know. I think it's important that people be recognized and acknowledged for those accomplishments. And that's, you know, in the memory of Bill, that's what, it's, you know, generated this award idea. It was actually Michael Baker and Eileen Hochberg's, the former executive director, Eileen, and her partner, Michael, came to me and asked me about this. And, of course, I was, you know, very enthusiastic about it. It's rhetorical, I guess.
Yeah, and so, actually, I seem to remember it came out really pretty soon after Bill's
passing. Well, that was the memorial. That was actually financial contributions.
Okay, but I heard about this award. Okay, maybe it wasn't right away, but during one of our shows.
It might have come up.
Okay.
But, because, you know, they brought up the idea shortly after he passed
right.
away.
Okay.
And then we started working on it in earnest about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. You know? So you figure within a week they can go to the NOFA site.
Oh, I would think by the end of today's Thursday.
Right.
By the beginning of next week at the latest, the nomination forms will be available.
Okay. So it gives people about 5 weeks to submit their...
Exactly.
Okay.
And the application process is pretty streamlined. You know, basically has a place for your name and if you're affiliated with an organization, your affiliation. And then it's a narrative. You know, you include...
So basically a story.
A description of the organic accomplishment in detail, including dates, results, successes, recognitions, and whatever. There's no page or word count limits. You know, there's no nothing to fill in. It's a narrative that you would provide
right, okay.
to the board. And,
right, and not 500 words. It's like as long
no,
as you want it to be.
Whatever is appropriate for,
okay.
for the person that you're nominating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a great segue then, if we've talked about... this Organic Living on the Earth Award in Bill's memory and in his name. The conference, it's a great thing, because since the award winners will be named. The conference, as I mentioned, is in Bridgeport this year at the Housatonic Community College on Saturday, 23rd of February.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Organicon, which is kind of interesting. All things organic in farms, food, and gardens. And it's the Connecticut Winter Conference, where we come together. There are 40, more than 40, workshops, focused on gardening, farming, food themes, political agendas. There's a wonderful locally sourced lunch. Lunch is sometimes the highlight of my day there because my brain gets full very fast these days. And then there's wonderful vendors with all kinds of things for gardening, farming, gifts. I know it's after the holidays, but still And then ability to network with people, and the fabulous teacup raffle, which has quite a wide variety and assortment of things to choose from. And that will also be on the ctnofa.org website.
Right, and it's currently there.
Yes, it probably is. Yes, as a matter of fact, I just pulled it up in case I needed more information. But I do want to talk a little bit about C.R. Lawn. It's his real name. It's not a pseudonym.
And Guy has talked about him plenty of times.
Yes, and he's the keynote speaker. Mm-hmm. And he's the founder of Fedco Seeds in Maine. And Fedco Seeds goes way back to before the USDA was involved in the certification of organics. And when Guy reminded me earlier that I was one of the original certification boards before that with his late wife. And I always felt like I was way out of my league.
You were not. You were right on track.
Yeah, well. Right. But anyway, C.R. Lawn was someone we admired a lot. He's quite a character. Mm-hmm. He's a dedicated seedster, if you can use that term. He's very knowledgeable, especially now when the seed industry is being preempted and taken over by giant corporate, you know, Monsanto and
All this proprietary seed ownership.
Yeah, and he has always been a protector of seeds and very active in seed saving. And the one nice thing, it's a cooperative, so they don't have a fancy color catalog like Johnny's. And so you have to use the Johnny's catalog if you want to look at a picture of the stuff that's in Fedco's.
Well, Fedco, it's all I'll call it pen and ink.
Yes.
Mostly pen and ink drawings. It's black and white.
Yes.
Very basic, but it's one of the most interesting catalogs. I mean, you could read it. And C.R. Lawn, I'm pretty sure Guy told me C.R. Lawn does all the write-ups, right?
He used to.
Oh, okay. It's gotten a little
But they've
big.
Expanded to the point where there are now individuals who are write different portions of it.
Yeah.
And but you can read some of C.R. Lawn's description of the individual vegetables because they keep the same descriptions on there.
Right. And just for people to know, and I'll get back to you in a second, that is Fedco, FEDCO.org.
Yes.
If you want that catalog. And they come out with a bunch of different, I think they send me maybe a tree and shrub catalog.
Yes, they have tubers.
Okay.
There's a tubers catalog. There's a flower catalog, I believe. Maybe not a flower one. But
it's a tree catalog.
It's trees, yes.
And I was thinking trees and shrubs.
It's very inexpensive, you know, compared to Johnny's. It's a fraction of the cost. You can save a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Fedco was always my go-to seed choice first, and then I'd fill in certain varieties they didn't have with other high mowing in New Hampshire and Johnny's, of course, which is the sort of the foundation of that industry.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I will warn you about Fedco is that occasionally there's a surprise in their seeds. You know, you might get something that you don't expect, but it's always fun and it's always interesting.
Yeah.
And I think they've gotten a little more quality control.
You mean something that's not like a plant?
Different color, different plant, different variety.
Okay.
Could be anything. It just kind of fell off the table into the envelope or something. But
okay.
Maybe they've streamlined their operations.
Yeah, or maybe there's some like marijuana harvesting and some of that got mixed in.
Let's not go there.
Okay, we won't.
So another NOFA event that's coming up actually the day before the event at the Common Ground. It's on the 11th of December, next Tuesday,
right,
at the Heritage Hotel in Southbury, is the 13th annual gathering of organic land care professionals.
Right.
And that is a very, very wonderful day with, introduction to the NOFA organic land care updates. Chip Osborne, who is a fixture in the organic community, Success Without Synthetics, Understanding the Organic System and Landscape Design, That's in the morning, and some time to meet the exhibitors, late morning, and then just before lunch, Rooted in History, Returning Native Plants to Local Landscapes, which is something that's very present and important right now, by Carolyn Summers. And then lunch, which is always great. I love lunch. And then in the afternoon, The Art of Edible Landscaping, which is what I used to do a lot with my students in Bridgeport, with Dave Scandura. And then in the afternoon from 2 to 3:45, a choice of two breakout sessions, Interpreting Soil Tests, which is very relevant to what we talked about before, Brewing Your Own Compost Tea, and Free Business Counseling and Resources from SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. I don't know what that acronym means.
I'm trying to think. It's like small business something. I think SCORE deals mostly with small businesses.
Yeah. So, well, they're offering business counseling and resources. And okay. Mark Cutler is the fellow who's going to run that. So that's exciting. That's coming up very quickly. That's the 13th annual gathering.
And that's actually so this coming Tuesday.
Yes. Yes.
And I can tell you because I actually printed out the agenda.
Good.
If you go to again ctnofa.org website, right there you'll see it. You'll see that workshop posted.
Right.
And I don't see, I'm assuming there is a fee involved, but I don't think we can really.
I don't know anything about the fee, but you can find out. It's coming up quick. And you also get the CEUs, you know, continuing education units. Certified organic landscapers need those on, just like teachers needed them, you know, ongoing education.
To keep their certification.
Keep it current and to keep them aware of what the latest and greatest stuff
and,
is.
And just for non-computer people, there is a phone number for the local NOFA office.
Thank you.
And you can speak to Jeremy Pelletier, who's actually going to be doing the introduction for the workshop. But
yes, he is.
It's 203-308-2584.
Exactly. And then two more NOFA things. If you're a NOFA member, you'll be receiving your farm and food guide, which is coming about a little earlier this year.
Oh.
If you're not a NOFA member, I urge you to become a NOFA member so that you can receive that and fabulous resource. And you can also be looking in your mailbox or your email box, for the annual appeal letter because, you know, like everyone else,
everyone needs money.
And we don't need a lot, but just like WPKN, we need money to keep it going. You know, we're mostly volunteer. NOFA is most like PKN, mostly volunteer with a wonderful message and a great purpose. And so that's my NOFA report.
Okay.
And I'm going to switch hats and take a breath. And I'm going to talk about another project that's very near and dear to my heart. It continues the work that Bill was doing at Once Upon a Farm in Bethany, Connecticut.
Can I interrupt you just for a second?
Absolutely.
I just want to let people know, and of course we can talk about it in the months down the line, but whenever the Farm and Food Guide comes out, I call Jeremy at the office, and he'll send me like a gigantic package full of them. And I usually put them here in the station.
Wonderful.
And actually anyone in the community can just call them.
That's a good point, Chris. Thank you.
Free of charge, they'll send you the farm and food guide. If you're a gardener or you're a farmer, you can put it out on your table.
Right. Health food stores have them.
Right.
And chiropractors. And
I always, like I said, I always bring down a pile here because I think there are a lot of people here.
Sure. You know, it's a wonderful resource. It's worth the membership just to have that because you can find whatever you need.
Right. So you want to keep speaking about Once Upon a Farm?
Yes. Once Upon a Farm. It started 3 years ago, and it's part of the Institute of Professional Practice, which is an overarching agency that serves people with let's see, it's developmental disabilities, right? We, our clients,
okay,
have a variety of developmental disabilities. And the agency is amazing. It serves, it has services for adults, for children. It offers foster care. It has a learning academy, which is a school. It has a mental health outpatient clinic. It has an art studio, which is gorgeous, with a pottery studio and a recording studio. And then it also has Once Upon a Farm, which is the service. It's an educational learning laboratory on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows the clients who are served throughout the state, not only the state of Connecticut, the farm, of course, is for Connecticut residents, but IPPI has a very pervasive presence in New England, Vermont, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and then Maryland, I guess, as interestingly enough. But I'm going to focus a little bit on Once Upon a Farm, because I've kind of picked up the mantle there for Bill, and I'm doing a lot of education and marketing, because the fellow who is in charge of the farm, Andrew Keene, is a wonderful grower. He loves to grow flowers, and right now we have a lot growing. We just harvested a bunch of lettuce in our heated greenhouse, and mm-hmm. we have spinach, and we had a huge crop of turnips and turnip greens, and we had beet greens, all of which are still growing. The things under the hoop houses now are kind of like paralyzed with cold.
Well, I was surprised. You know? I was surprised when Guy was talking about things still growing, and he said beets. And
the beets aren't growing under the ground, but the greens are very vigorous.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So what we do on the farm is the clients come, and we find a niche for each one of them, and they have an opportunity to be on a farm with animals. There are sheep and goats, and there's a donkey, and there are a couple of miniature pigs, and they're all miniature, and we have these wonderful goats we put to work getting the poison ivy, eating the poison ivy and fencing them,
That sounds fascinating.
It's just it continues on the work that I did in Bridgeport for a couple of decades. You know, gardening with fifth graders, it's a context for learning and a context for living. Mm-hmm. You know, it connects where our food comes from, what we eat, nutrition, workers' rights, the health of the planet. You know, it's one of those wonderfully all-encompassing opportunities to educate. And mm-hmm. there's going to be a commercial kitchen, and I have some clients who can't wait to start making raspberry jam and strawberry jam. And, mm-hmm. you know, they feed the carrots to the rabbits, and the, you know, carrots don't grow on trees is a revelation.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... It's right up my alley, it's a great alternative to the former sort of institutional care that was available for adults and children with developmental difficulties.
So I'm kind of thinking as an example, like Kennedy Center might be one of your clients there, like Kennedy Center.
I don't know what Kennedy Center is.
Oh, it's a. What would you call it?
Well, I don't know too much about how clients come to us, but
right. Challenged people,
yeah, because people with developmental disabilities and children to adults. It's a wide range, and they have foster care. They have in-home services, and the Once Upon a Farm is just one aspect of this.
Oh, so IPPI is the umbrella organization.
It is, exactly, and it's quite a large institute, you know, covers a lot of geographical territory and a lot of services, and it's a brilliant model, and the CEO in Connecticut, Melody Pete, who is a very dear friend of mine, and how Bill and I got connected to the farm itself, is a visionary. You know, she's from talking to people and Bill and seeing the work that we did with kids over the years, she was the prime mover in establishing Once Upon a Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andrew, this wonderful grower, sort of took the ball and ran with it. And it's just developed into the most beautiful place to be. I mean, and working with the clients is so rewarding and uplifting. You know, it's just, it's so much fun. The time flies, you know, when it's time to go, they're like, oh, do we have to go? You know, and everybody has something to do. You know, there's the thing about a farm is there's a little bit for all kinds of learning styles and all kinds of behaviors and disabilities. You know, there's always something someone can do because there's a never-ending amount of work. You know?
Right. And even without the community that they're servicing, it sounds fun anyway.
It's very fun. It's a great place. And, you know, there's a heated greenhouse, which is one of the nicest places in the world to be on a 20-degree day when it's sunny out. You could take your coat off. And we just actually seeded on a flower day, according to the Stella Natura, of course, some stock, because stock and snapdragons will grow in 20, 25 degrees. They're really hardy. Really
what
hardy.
Was that? What's it called? Stock?
Stock, it's called. It's a very aromatic plant.
I never heard of it.
S-T-O-C-K, just like
stock. Oh, I never
stock.
Heard of it. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a very important florist flower, but it's one of those flowers that, you know, in winter when we've been indoors and our senses of smell are somewhat dulled, this is the kind, like paper whites, or the fragrance is very strong and very evocative of things to come. Spring spring is, you know, right around the corner.
So I see they're in Bethany.
The farm is in Bethany.
Right.
Their headquarters
Litchfield.
Are in Meriden.
Oh, I see.
IPPI is in Meriden.
So so they are a year-round farm, then, it sounds like. You're talking about the greenhouse.
Actually, yes. The greenhouse, it's a year-round farm, and the clients come year-round. Right now, there's always animals. You know, animals get taken care of winter, summer, spring, fall. You know, they don't go dormant like plants do. They require the same things we
do. Unless they're bears
food,
or
water,
something.
Love, shelter. You know, and they're wonderful animals. They're very friendly, and
So would the can the public go by there?
Yes. Okay. Let me give you the website.
Sure.
It's IPPI, that's Institute of Professional Practice, .org. Mm-hmm. Very simple.
Yep.
And you can, you know, scroll down through the services and you can click on Once Upon a Farm, and that will get you to some contact information. And we certainly welcome visitors. And we also welcome donations, and we welcome volunteerism, you know, people who want to come and learn things and work with us and our clients. We welcome you.
Okay. So. And just so you know, you did mention it, but it's the Institute of Professional Practice.
The overarching organization.
So it's IPPI.org.
Yes.
And I do see it does list daily tour hours here. I did a printout of it.
Oh, good.
But I don't see a phone number. But whatever, maybe and I actually went to the link and I didn't see a phone number anywhere. But it is 200 Litchfield Turnpike in Bethany.
Yes. And you're right.
It's interesting. Yeah, it doesn't.
Maybe they don't encourage phone contact, but you can contact us on the webpage.
Right, you can go through the webpage.
Just do that, and then we'll get back to you. We'll be sure to be checking that after this, this kind of exposure on the radio.
Right.
And we'll be looking for that. Or you can drop by, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, it's 200 Litchfield Turnpike.
Yes, which is Route 69.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, yes.
It is.
Yes,
right.
It is.
I always get confused by 67 and
69. 67, 68, and 69.
69 is the one that goes along the ridge,
the
West Rock Ridge.
Yes, exactly.
It sounds fascinating. And one of the reasons it sounds fascinating to me is, like, I grew up in Fairfield. I had, like, one time on a school trip, we went to Snow's Farm in Easton. And that was my only ever in my entire life exposure to farm animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I thought it was fascinating seeing, you know, like cows and yeah. whatever, because there's...
Kids love chickens, too. We have chicks. They love the chicks. They, mm-hmm. they have, it teaches them care, you know, that, you know, they it teaches them a model for behaving towards their fellow humans with kindness and gentleness, mm-hmm. you know, and without a lot of verbalizing, do this, do that, be nice. Yeah, you
right.
could just,
and you're
you just model it.
Yeah, and you're
know,
just be, you're, you can go there and like just be at peace, like the animals are, you know, they don't bite, you know?
No,
I mean,
no.
Maybe if you tried to aggravate them,
no,
maybe,
they're really very domesticated, you yeah. know? And they're miniatures, so they're not...
Oh, okay, so they're not going to, like, knock a kid over.
No, 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 they're all manageable size.
Oh, so all the animals are miniature.
Well, except for the donkey.
Okay.
The donkey is...
Do you know if there are Dexter cattle there?
There are no cattle. We have
no cattle, okay.
We have goats, sheep... Donkeys, pigs, and lots of chickens. Beautiful,
okay.
beautiful.
All different kinds of chickens.
Barred rocks that are growing up. They're so friendly and they're so adorable. They're so lively. And then we have chicks of several varieties that are coming along. You know, so
okay.
We incubate eggs. You know, there's so much learning. You know, there's mm-hmm. the food web and the
so,
water cycle.
So we're very quickly. I should have given you some notice. We're very quickly
That's
drawing
okay.
to the end
I think
of the show.
I think I.
And
it
looks like you covered. Yep, you covered the workshop next. Tuesday.
Yes.
At where do we say? Okay, Heritage Hotel. Again, you go to the
Southbury.
Yeah, CT Nova website. You can get information.
CTNova.org.
.org. You can get information about the workshop I mentioned at Common Ground High School next
yes.
Wednesday.
Perfect.
And this other one at Heritage Hotel in Southbury
yep.
on Tuesday. And that's an all day workshop that starts at
yes.
8 a.m.
Yes.
So thanks a lot for Suzanne,
oh, this has
for
been
coming.
Great fun. Thank you for inviting
and,
me.
And you know,
Di.
And it's like the timing is perfect. We didn't have I didn't give out the phone number. We didn't have any phone calls, but the timing was like perfect.
We could do it now, right? Quickly, you could give out. You were looking.
Yeah, but nobody
well,
could answer.
No, oh. this is for calling in for the show.
Oh, I see.
You know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But that's fine.
I talk too
it's
much.
Like you perfectly filled the time, and mm-hmm. it worked out perfectly.
Thank
so.
You very much. It was really a pleasure to share
okay.
these wonderful things that are going. On in our state.
Okay. And I'm sure we'll have you back sometime very soon.
Yes. And if not, happy holidays to everybody, whatever
absolutely.
You celebrate. Be well.
And
peace on earth.
And so thanks, Suzanne. And Guy?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that we're trying to get Diana Koza back. She was a lady that has come up with her own procedures, her own medicines for her own herself, which really was interesting. And Richard will be back next time, right?
I'm pretty sure he will be.
He pointed to it, yeah.
Right. And I'm just trying to think, so I can't think of the, is it the 20th? I'm trying to think our next show.
No, next one is on the 20th.
Yeah,
exactly.
The 20th.
6
so
and 14 is 20.
Right, so Thursday right. the 20th will be
good.
Our next program. I'm not
She's
sure
a
what
math
we're...
major, too.
Yeah, no, right. no.
Well, I was looking at 6, and I'm thinking, okay, you add 7 and 7. So, yeah, that gives you 20.
Good show.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Guy. And,
thank you
thanks
very
a lot,
much,
Suzanne.
Everybody.
And everyone else, have a nice day. And stay tuned for fundraising. I hope you help out the station.
Chris, you got to get over there and get
programming
some of
support
whatever.
Comes from New Morning Market, the independently owned organic market whose mission since 1971 has been to build a local, healthy, and sustainable food community. Offering local organic produce and humanely raised meats, sustainably harvested seafood, and prepared to order organic juices, smoothies, and meals to dine in or take out. Located at 129 Main Street North in Woodbury, Connecticut. More information at newmorn.com. Good food, good people, good life. New Morning Market.
Larger than life, wild, androgynous. Grace Jones plays all these parts. Join WPKN as we get a second chance to show the Grace Jones documentary, Bloodlight and Bammy, now rescheduled for Thursday, December the 6th at the Bijou Theater in downtown Bridgeport. The film takes us on a road trip across Jamaica, where her family roots are uncovered and layers of Grace Jones' public and private life are revealed. Doors open at 6 p.m. with some Grace Jones music in the lobby, accompanied by a Two Roads Brewing Company beer tasting. The movie screens at 7 p.m.
Tickets are $12 at the door or in advance at thebijoutheater.net. WPKN thanks sponsors Two Roads and the Bridgeport DSSD. That's Grace Jones, Bloodlight, and Bammy on Thursday, December the 6th at the Bijou Theater in Bridgeport.
Digging in the dirt, that's our way of life. Digging through the day and through the night.
Hi there, this is Kevin Gallagher, host of Digging in the Dirt. I wanted to drop in here for a moment to thank you for supporting programming like mine and all of our other fine spoken word programming of WPKN. Whether it's Hazel Kahn's Tidings or North Fork Works, Scott Harris's Counterpoint and Between the Lines, Writer's Voice with Francesca Rhiannon, or our other food and farming and environmental show, The Organic Farm Stand, these programs and many more at WPKN are made possible by your support. Without you, our listeners occasionally donating to WPKN, we can't continue. Won't you consider making a contribution by calling right now at 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. And make a donation to WPKN because you appreciate the quality programming I and my colleagues produce here. Remember, all our spoken word programming is available to you as podcasts to listen to at your leisure. Please consider donating right this minute by calling right now at 203-384-9756. That's 203-384-9756. And while you're at it, why not make it a